Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody
These Life and Times. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Darrell Clark, and, well, you're at the right place at the right time. This evening, we have a special edition, what I call a late-night edition of Progressive News Weekly. Late, but not latent. This evening, we're going to be having a recap, so to speak, of a previous program, that being last week's program. Back by popular demand, we have our previous guest returning to continue the discourse. We're talking about society and what's going on in our environment, politically, socially. So much happening, and we haven't had this kind of a discourse in many months. So last week, we began to have that dialogue, that discourse, and some very enlightening information surfaced through that. So I invite you to put on your I'm in it to win it hats, because this is going to take more than an also-ran effort. And what I mean by that is it's not going to be a laissez-faire, business-as-usual, old-time approach to resolve some of the situations that we're coping with, folks, in our society. So we're going to talk about some of these topics, some of these issues related to our economy, and as I said, the environment, our education, even dabble into some of the politics and the political influence. But we're going to taper that with the reality of the big picture of what's really driving a lot of the imbalances in our society. Then, of course, we like to always bring about some balance by talking about and modeling some potential efforts for a turnaround. So, what's new and interesting in the news? Well, we just passed a milestone, and that being the Apollo 11 liftoff and trip to the moon and landing of the moon some 50 years ago. You know, you think about it, a lot of things were happening 50 years ago to the point where you look at where we are now and you have to say, well, what really salient, pertinent things have really taken place now? And it makes you wonder, if you really put some thought into it, many of what used to be our movers and shakers seem to be caught up in the gravel. And when I mean gravel is the minutia, instead of looking at this big picture of where this ship called our society is heading. So I don't see a lot of notables standing out, standing up, and making a difference. Though I am optimistic about a change that's going to come. Little Sam Cooke. So this evening, we'll be joined again, and I won't put the carrot out there like I normally do, asking you to make sure you get on my mail list so you'll know who the special guest is. We do have returning Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, who is a historian, activist for human and equal rights, and, well, he's a research analyst as well. But above all, I would just say Ron is someone who speaks his mind, and he speaks it with the leverage of research behind him. having done his homework. Now, with that said, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with him. It just means that he has something to back up what his position is on a given subject. So he'll be joining us shortly, and we're going to be having some no-holds-barred discussion. You're encouraged, as always, to participate in this dialogue. And if you haven't done so while you're tuning in now, you will dial 347-838-9142 in order to participate in this discourse. So we hope that you will. That's 347-838-9142. And so we're looking forward to that. And next week, not to get too far ahead of myself, we're going to be having another very enlightening program, just getting a little bit back into ourselves, into our inner selves, our soul. With that, I am, for those on or near the New York, on the East Coast, New York metropolitan area, I'm conducting meditation, health, and wellness sessions at the Goshwan Studio. It's a Eastern Martial Arts Studio, tongue twister there. And so I welcome you to join me evenings, and you can drop me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A-1-8, at msn.com, and we'll be having some important dialogue and discourse about being well and being balanced and touching base with your higher self. Yeah, we have a higher soul, a higher self, and I know many of you in the listening audience do take that time out to just get still and get quiet and meditate. And so I will be doing some guided meditation from many of the teachings that I've had over the last 25 to 30 years, including our own Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, Master Pranic Healer, who I've learned so much from, and many other masters over the decades. So we'll be engaging in some various types of meditation, meditation of twin hearts, transcendental. We'll be getting into a little Zen, and, of course, some love and peace, mindfulness meditation. So what I will guide you through will be some combination of that that I found to be very effective over the years for self-help, self-healing, self-balance, inner peace for you and those around you. I'll be talking about coping skills in terms of handling specific situations. And again, we will be talking about, on a holistic, energetic level, healing from the inside out. So, as I said, send me an email and I'll give you more information. It is being held, they will be held weekly in here in New Jersey, in Scotch Plains. And you'll be hearing a lot more about that and some of the other things that I'm going to be doing in the community. And again, send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A-1-8, at msn.com. So as always, I would appreciate it if you would send me some correspondence and let me know of guests or topics that you think are relevant and are not hitting the mainstream. Let's not get too extreme, talk about mainstream. What I mean by extreme, I'm talking about topics that cannot be validated with some sort of research or data behind it. You know, not to try to make a joke of various minds of thought and ideologies. However, if there's going to be a topic or a guest that's going to articulate a topic, it truly does, if it's going to air here, have to be grounded in truth, and again, something that can be validated. And so I will be vetting or doing the research on whatever the individual is and whatever the topic is, whoever the individual is. And I look forward to bringing some new and interesting perspectives to the airwaves that otherwise may not have that opportunity. All right. So, with that said, I would like to bring on our special guest and see if he is available at this time to join us. Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, and see if my engineer is going to be able to bring Mr. Crenshaw to the airwaves to join us. Also, before I move on to that aspect of the program, I want to encourage everyone, just thinking as where we are in this time of the year, think local. And this just crossed my mind as I try to not to put down our local grocers, but there are markets, there are farmers that literally, I'm sure in your area, wherever you are across the country, and we are airing across the country and across the continent, in fact, that are growing fresh produce, fresh and organic produce, and we need to patronize these folks. We've done a great job in making the masses aware of the adulterated food that is being marketed around the country. But there's still work to be done, and some of our local farmers are struggling. And so let's make sure that we support our local farmers by, during these summer months and warm months, truly going to our farmers' markets on the weekends and the afternoons and evenings, wherever they may be. So, with that said, produce, especially those bright red produce, the blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and the watermelon even, with that lycopene element that's so good for our health. Let's just make sure that we're doing that. Okay? All right. So we're going to see if we can get Mr. Crenshaw on. And if not, we will move on because this is live radio. And, well, with that, we've got to keep it live all the time. But, yes, Mr. Crenshaw may be joining us. Hopefully, we can get him on the air. So, Mr. Crenshaw will be picking up where he left off before. He was with us, and we had an excellent conversation and talking about giving all the resources that we here in the United States have, often referred to as the most powerful and resource potential nation on the earth, are still struggling with societal unrest and with an imbalance of equality in terms of shared resources. And so I want to pick up on that, and I want to bring Mr. Crenshaw to the airwaves at this time. And so,
hello,
Mr. Crenshaw, are you there?
Yes, Ronald's here. Thank you for having me on your program. I appreciate it. I just got here from an errand, but I'm fine. Yes, I'd like to pick up where you started from as best I can. And what I would start to say is that that is a crying need for trying to bring the world together and try to help one another and not be so avaricious about stimulating our own personal wealth to the detriment of others. That's a big struggle, because once you acquire a lot of wealth, you want to maintain it and augment it, and there's never an end to the augmentation. And that's what we have to become conscious of and try our, struggle as much as we can to try to equalize wealth among all. I mean, that sounds, not possible, but it is a struggle that can be, can be sought for, I feel. And to just go along a little deeper in this is that, from what we were saying last time, is talking about the capitalist system, the capitalist economic system. And that system doesn't open its arms for trying to get some sort of equality among people and sharing wealth. It's really about augmenting personal wealth. And as long as that's going forward, there's always got to be some sort of antagonism to leading to, war and things of that sort. So that's what we were talking about, and I would just like to go further and say the things that we see in the media are all controlled, and we don't see both sides. We see one side. And we think we're getting, all the necessary news, but that can't be permitted, because all the necessary news can't be permitted, because it would, so to speak, backfire on the people who are trying to maintain their accumulation and augmenting it. So,
Ron, do you think that, speaking of media, that there's some collusion amongst the media as well? And the reason I'm asking that is because I'm hearing you say you really can't trust the media because they're not going to give you the information that would be counter to their best interest. So it sounds as though you're kind of broad brushing media, at least mainstream media, because more and more people are getting information from other sources, internet, and the like. Do you think there's a sense of collusion going on amongst all the media, whether it's the major networks, NBC, ABC, Fox, CNN, CBS, and and that, and of course some of the local stations in any given metropolitan area. You think they're somehow tied together? And I say that because
yes.
it seems like
yes,
a story may
be
on one channel, and then you turn the channel, and they may be running the same story.
Right.
And that just cannot be a coincidence. I find that very difficult to believe that I'm on CNN, or, well, CNN doesn't count. That's more like your cable networks. But your like your mainstream, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Too often I find if I'm watching a story, it may be something local depending on where you are and the local CBS network news that's there in NBC and CBS. But it may be some type of a break-in or some kind of a massive assault on someone or group of people and that big story. You turn the channel and they happen to be running at the same time that same story. It makes me think, like Arsenio Hall used to say on his show, for those of you who remember Arsenio Hall's show. He said, things that make you go, things that make you go,
Right.
Something's peculiar about this.
Right.
What's your thought? Is
well,
it
my thought,
that these folks are tied together?
Yeah, my thought is what I've been seeing. I remember a fellow by the name of Edward Snowden. Yes, you remember hearing about him, Snowden was with the the National Security. I can't remember the organization. No, anyway, he was part of the intelligence apparatus. I'll put it that way,
mm-hmm.
since I can't be precise as to. What he was with, because he wasn't with the CIA nor the FBI, but he was the National Security something. And he realized that during the Bush administration, the George W. Bush, the son, that they were eavesdropping on various telephone calls. Well, they were supposed to go through the Pfizer Act. The judge would grant them the right to do that, but they were bypassing it and tapping phones. And he discovered it, and he openly, you know, put it out into the media. So he was, fortunately at the time, he wasn't in the United States. I think he was in somewhere like Hong Kong or somewhere in the East. And they had to get him out of there real quick. He got, connections and was able to go to Russia, where he was permitted in. And they gave him, you know, the right to stay there. Since Russia is not, you know, the same as the United States. They're both capitalists, but they kind of like, what should I say, competitive with each other. That's the best way I can put it, because everything that the U.S. wants, Russia won't necessarily do it because they're competitors. So anyway, and they wanted him because they were going to prosecute him, put him in jail for life, because he violated an edict that they have,
mm-hmm.
letting you know you don't tell stuff that we consider, volatile material for the rest of the world, you know, and for our people mm-hmm. even. So that's where he is, and that happened early, somewhere in the early 2000s. I mean, we're in that now, but I mean the early part, like maybe before 2012, somewhere.
Yeah, I believe it was 2013.
2013?
When 2013, and that was the,
okay.
he was with the National Security Agency.
Thank you, right, National Security Agency.
Well, actually,
copied
highly classified information from the National Security Agency And he actually was a contractor with the CIA.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, it really got kind of messy there because,
right.
you know, him being with the CIA,
yes.
you know,
right.
leaking that kind
right.
of information as a whistleblower, you know, the term.
Right.
Right. Leaking supposedly highly classified information.
Right.
You know, became an enemy of the state immediately.
Right. And before him, I didn't get prepared for this. That's why I have to leave out some of the information. That's
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a fella that was, working with, this Swiss bank in Switzerland. And that's where a lot of the Western money supply goes to and through. And there were a lot of well-to-do U.S. people hiding their money so they wouldn't be taxed. And he saw this, and he came forward with it. And so when he revealed it, everybody got startled. The lower, I guess, the people who had the least amount of money there had to, act up and cut out, stop, you know, that behavior. But there were certain people that were, you know, extremely wealthy. They didn't get bothered. So what they did is they punished him for revealing it because they said he had something to do with it. See, and this is the kind of thing that goes on when you have lots of wealth. You can do what you want to do, and of course that would apply to our current president, who's a multi-billionaire, and you know he got condolences for swindling the students out of Trump University with their tuition. And you know he had to paid off $25 million to the students as recompense, and he went on to be the president. Now presidents are not supposed to be felons, but because of his connections and his wealth, he's president. And Congress and the Senate all respect him. You don't hear any of the Congress or the Senate talking about this guy being a felon. You follow me? So that's what I'm talking about, this class privilege that goes on. And this is, you know, necessitated by the capitalist system, you see. So that's part of the big problem we have, because racism is an aspect of this class system. You see, you bifurcate the working class, and therefore you can dominate both of them because they're eager to push down the other and say, well, I'm glad I'm a little better off than the other guy. See, so they don't realize that both are being taken advantage of. And, of course, I've said this, I guess, 1,000 times, when the World Trade Center catastrophe happened, there were more whites in those buildings than there were non-whites. And that shows the disregard for the white working class, irrespective of, you know, those who are not white, quote unquote. You follow? So what I'm trying to say is this is all connected with the profit system, the political economy of the United States and the Western world. So that's what we're up against now, trying to get people to be conscious of what we're living in, and that it's really not a democracy for the people, for the working class itself. It's only a democracy for those who are on top, and that's not really what democracy is supposed to be. in the dictionary explanation of it, you see, because it's supposed to be all of the people in the country are supposed to be regarded equally. And that's democracy, but that doesn't happen here. And we have to make people conscious of this, that politics is, I say, politics is second only to one's health. Because
wow, that's kind
health,
of a deep statement, Ron.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's
what
it is.
Qualify that, please.
Well, look, you know about slavery in the United States, right? You know about...
Yeah, I think so.
All right? So if we know about slavery in the United States and how the people, the slaves were treated in the United States, we should realize that that's politics. That was politics. Slavery is politics. You see? So, and then when we, and it's during the Second World War, Hitler was gassing, murdering innocent Jewish people, Slavic Jewish people. He didn't like them. So therefore, that's what he did. That's fascism. And we have a certain amount of fascism here. When a cop murders an innocent black person and walks free, that's fascism, and that's not democracy. The two are not, you know, the same thing. So that's why I support my position. Now, if you have something else to say that you think is alleviates what I've said, please step forward. I'll listen. I'm willing to listen because I'm only trying to impart what exists and how we can describe it. Huh?
No, I just said I appreciate that, and you always have had the position stating how you feel, and if anyone has any comment. With that, listeners, the dial-in number is 347-838-9142, and you'll press 1 on your dial if you'd like to comment with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, humanitarian, activist for human equal rights, research analyst, and historian. Well, you say this is a fascist society. Then you're not thinking in terms of a party system here, Republican or Democrat, because the things that you're talking about, they transcend across parties. You just mentioned, for example, when someone gets, assaulted by a police officer for being black, basically.
Right. Right.
And or a minority. But in this case, because of some of the things that really hit mainstream in your area, the Gardner case, which was a severe choke murder scenario.
Right.
And I'm just stating from what I saw, and of course the Tamir Rice in, my hometown in Cleveland, and I mean, we can go on and on with the massive murders that took place in those 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And that was all taking place under a Democratic administration, or at least, I can't put it any other way, Democratic administration. Now, I'm not going to dare say that, he was at fault. That wouldn't be fair. I'm talking about the top person of that administration, our president at the time, because there was, there was a judiciary system as well that was in place. And we are a three in terms of the way our democracy or republic is set up. We have the judicial system and the administrative system. And so I am going to say, though, that if you look across the various administrations over the last 40 years, there have been some heinous things that have taken place in terms of injustices
right.
racially, and it crossed that aisle
right.
from Republican to Democratic, Democratic to Republican.
Exactly.
And so...
and the lynchings, the lynchings between 1865 right on into the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
I mean, were atrocious. And you
and
can't
that crossed
tell me that,
several...
Go ahead,
Mr. Crenshaw. Well, that crossed several... that crossed both political parties during that era, that time
right.
frame.
Sure.
So
I
think
really
that lends
party.
Some credits. Yeah. That lends
it's really
some
one
credits.
Party. Like you've said, two wings of the bird,
yeah.
all the same.
Left wing, right wing.
right.
same.
Right.
And so I guess that lends some credence to what you're saying about this, you know, fascist society that we are in. So the
right.
question is, well, spell the differences between the two.
Right.
Some would say the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Well, again, for me, it's the left wing, right wing, same bird.
Right.
And
it's no lesser.
It's not the lesser of two evils. It's the lesser of one evil.
right. Exactly. The lesser of one evil. Right. Exactly.
Needs to be the perspective there.
Yes, right.
So I appreciate what you're saying about that fascist statement.
Yeah,
and there are
yeah.
some that would be highly insulted by hearing that.
Oh, yeah,
but as you
sure.
said, you know, we need to hear some counter positions. You know,
right.
well, whatever they would say, if you had a Democratic representative, you know, he or she might say, yeah, but, you know, historically over the last 40 years, you know, we've done policies or initiated policies that were in the best interest of the masses and the middle class, and Republicans
right.
have always fought for big business with
right.
that mindset of trickle-down theory.
Right.
There's some truth to be said, but then again, there's some non-truth to be said about that
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Because I can
That's
remember
true.
Under... some Republican administrations where there was, you know, somewhat upturn economically
yes.
for
yes.
The middle class and lower
notice
middle class.
Notice what that was, though. That because
yeah.
of the war.
Yeah.
You see, that was because
exactly.
of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so that's telling us something right there.
Yeah,
that
yeah, it's just different
you
approaches.
Might tend to miss, something
yeah.
you might tend to miss, not because
Tell
you're
it.
Ignorant,
Tell it.
But because it's not, you know, it's not, what should I say, hitting you in the face. It's subtle. But what's going on there is you have a war because that makes money. That makes profit. People are dying, but there's profit for the weaponry,
mm-hmm.
the involvement,
oh, yeah.
the taking
You're
over
right.
of other countries and extracting their wealth for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
100%.
Right. See? So that's what we've after the Second World War, everything, the Marshall Plan, that came into being. So the United States started... getting very wealthy, extremely wealthy, until Germany and Japan started to get on their feet. Then things got to be a little competitive.
Yeah.
And we sallied forward, you see what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
things got a little tighter, you see, and frustration
yep.
came with, you know, a downfall in the economy, that kind of stuff. It takes place, you see, and then there's inflation that comes along. So inflation, depression is an aspect of political economy, economics of our capitalist system. Because, see, the reason we get depressions is because the wealth is going to the top and not enough is at the bottom to transfer more profit, because the people there are getting poorer and poorer, and they're unable to buy the necessary needs, or should I say, things that'll be comfortable to them. So there's a dip, and that's why they came forward with the Federal Reserve in 1913. They brought in the Federal Reserve to try to see if they could maintain a level state of economics, but it didn't work. 9/13 came into being, and what did we have in 1929? A disastrous fall.
Wow.
So even in all effort to make capitalism, you know, better for an economic system to help everyone, it had to fall, because automatically the wealth goes to the top. So that's one of the problems that's inherent in
I don't
the
think a lot of people
system.
Realize. What did you say? It was 1913, was it?
Yes, that's when it was organized, the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that it's that young.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
No, really, that's relatively young.
Huh?
That's relatively young, relatively speaking.
Right.
Now, that's not a long time ago, you know, within our grandparents' lifetime.
Yes, yes.
That this thing was created. And as you said, it wasn't long after that. And that's so interesting. Not long after this entity was created, it was a disaster.
That
took place.
Exactly.
And so that means it did not work.
Right.
But yet it's still in existence.
Yes. Yes, that's
Isn't that kind of profound? I mean, something that was created absolutely did not work, ended up being a literal disaster, and yet it's been perpetuated.
Right. And part of the perpetuation is also taking advantage of smaller countries and extracting wealth from these smaller countries, dominating various countries. You see how, you know, most of the, you know, when Africa started to be people, you know, from the West started going into Africa and extracting its minerals and, you know, all of its minerals, it brought the West a lot of wealth. You see, because they were extracting this from Africa, because Africa is a super rich country in, what should I say, and for minerals.
Yes, natural resources, true.
That's right, exactly. It's very fertile in that area. That's why they were able to build up and keep building, from getting new things in. But as I said, what happens is the wealth starts to go to the top, and the bottom gets to be all but empty, and you have a crash. And that's been going on. I mean, we hear or are aware of what took place. Was that 2008? We had a crash here, and a lot of, some of the corporations went out of business because of that, and others got, you know, swept into other corporations. So that's the thing, and now we're in a limbo again. It hasn't fallen yet, but it's in limbo, and that's the stress that has moved Trump to start with, what does he call it? Here we go again with my memory. Tariffs, that's it. tariffs to other countries, even to its own, so to speak, fellow countries, you know, that are in NATO, you know, England, France, Germany, all of these countries, they, you know, want to start tariffs so that they can stay afloat. And that causes, and see, also, the main thing is to try to maintain more wealth than China, because, see, China is second only to the United States, but it's growing faster than the United States. So, therefore, there has to be some kind of uneasiness, because they don't, the U.S. doesn't want China to overrun it in wealth, we're talking about. Okay, so that's the tensions that's going on now. And also with Russia and China are starting to become friendly. And that's a little edgy for the U.S. They don't want that because...
That's very edgy. I would say that's very edgy for the U.S.
Right, right. See,
those two talking.
Right, exactly. So that's the tensions that are going on right now. And the economy is somewhat weak. That's what they're afraid of. The economy is somewhat weak, as it happens to be, because the money continuously is drawn upward and not sheared downward. See, and that's it. And I say this not because I feel like communism would be the be-all. No, I don't think any model that we can make can be a be-all, but it sure can be better. And maybe we can, once we get to that level, maybe we can make something even better. That'll be the struggle. To always try to make things better, but don't keep them as being the way they are. That is, you know, brutal, egregiously brutal. You know, I mean, and here again we have Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning. You know, they breached and reported what they saw. And now Assange is considered a criminal. But, of course, he won't be able to pay off anybody and become president, you see. So that's different. You follow what I just said, right?
I do. I'd like for you to elaborate a little on that, because I don't know the details on... Or...
I'm talking about Trump being a felon before becoming president.
Okay.
Knowingly a felon, because of what he did with his Trump University. He had Trump University, and he swindled the tuition from the students. And then, just before he went into the office of president, he had to divvy out $25 million to pay off what he had taken. But the felony was already committed. So how do you buy out something? You see what I mean? If I go into a bank and I rob them of $5, they come after me. When they come after me, I give them $5? No. They're going to make an example of me. They're going to put me in jail because they don't want anyone else taking $5. That make sense?
That makes sense. That has to make sense. That's pretty straightforward.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what it is.
But in the case that you just mentioned, there was a payoff.
Huh?
In the case you just mentioned, there was a payoff.
Right. There was a payoff. See? A payoff. But can you or me pay off?
No.
I don't think so. But see, they have to make examples
not like
of
that.
Me because... I'm not in that upper clique, that upper class, you see. Among the upper class has privilege The people, the working class, does not. And the reason the cops have privilege is because they protect those at the top. You see? So that's what we're up against. We're up against a class society that is, what should I say, good to those who are on their in their grouping, and to the others, no way. They have to pay, and they have to pay dearly. And we saw these things, like you mentioned earlier, like under the Clinton administration, who was a Democrat, you know, opened the gates of the prisons, and three felony offenses, you go away from life. And that started to crowd the all of the what should I say, crowd the places where they put criminals, so put it that way. You see, it's nothing to laugh about, but I mean, it's very serious. And his
and then they industrialized the prison complex, the prison industrial complex.
Exactly.
Of course, to support those laws.
Exactly. And we were supposed to have a when he took office, Clinton, there was supposed to be a payoff for the population. For people to get, you know, a certain amount of bonus for no longer having to produce munitions and things like that, because the Iron Curtain had fallen. But that that didn't come about. That was, once he got into office, that was dropped altogether. And the Health Care Act under him, well, his wife had proposed it, that dropped out. That didn't come about until Obama came in. And Obama told us, you know, I couldn't give you a, you know, free health care, but I can give you, you know, like 80% of health care, you see. So we didn't get all of it, but that's what we had asked for. And now they want to even take that back. You see, so it's something that keeps you on your hands and knees rather than to walk straight up. I'm using a euphemism, but that's what it is. I mean, they keep the poor, they try to keep the poor poor, while the rich gets wealthier and wealthier, and that's capitalism, and that's a system we live in. And people who feel like they're comfortable, well, they might be comfortable now, but as soon as they're crash, the wealthy, the rich take their money out first, and what's left, you take it. Whether no matter what, how much you had in there, you lose most of it, because they have to get their cut first, and what's left, you can have. The pennies that are left, it's yours. But, hey, you know, there's no calibration on what they take and what you get. So it's very one-sided, extremely one-sided.
Yeah, so as we are experiencing this as a society, what are some of the things that you think that the masses should do, the listeners to our program here? Is it a matter of being aware? Is that a big
piece
of that?
Yeah, well, the first step is to be aware. Because if you're not aware, you know, you don't realize what's going on. The second step is to try to make other people aware. And when you vote, you have to vote for a third party that speaks on your behalf, something like the Green Party that speaks on your behalf. Now, to begin with, you're not going to win. But as things get, as more people become aware of what's going on, then there'll be more people who can stand for it, and then they have to make certain changes to try to appease the population. But the way it is now, hey, I got my bread. Get yours the best way you can. We'll never get there. You see, it's a matter of trying to educate other people to move in that direction. And, of course, it doesn't happen overnight, but it has to start somewhere. And as it starts, people start to wake up. It's just like when Trump closed off the government. The people, most of the 800,000 people, most of them were white, that this hit them. And, you know, that was a mighty blow to not get your salary. Some had to work and others didn't have to work. But, I mean, they had to go deep in their pockets and find ways to, you know, get some kind of benefit. So it didn't hurt him at all because he's already wealthy, you see. So we have to, you know, wake up to looking at other avenues of information. You know, like on the show that we have, there's the Democracy Now that comes on TV and the radio. I think on the radio it's BAI. I think 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday.
At least on the East Coast, because we're national. We have listeners from, you know, Canada and West Coast and out South. So we have to be careful.
But
on the East Coast,
WBAI,
we do have a WBAI. You're talking about public radio, basically.
Right.
Non-commercial radio.
Non-commercial.
Because it's different in different metropolitan areas. For example,
right.
In Cleveland, there's a different independent. Now there's some independent stations PRN, you know, for
right.
example, that air nationally. But then, like you're mentioning, BAI, even though a lot of the stations now are streaming live, they may be local on a terrestrial basis in terms of radio waves.
Right.
And limited therein. But most of these stations now have, you know, internet streaming, where even though it's a local station,
right.
you can hear them across the country, like BAI. And I'm not
right.
sure of the online URL for that, but
right.
That is one of the better independent commercial-free
right.
talk networks. Yeah, WBAI out of New York, folks. If you'd like to Google that and get the streaming address, and share with us if you
right.
have a local party. A local network that airs independent news and information. And we'll certainly put it over the airwaves so that we can all share in this new medium, which
right.
I'm believing is going to be the mainstream at some point in the not-too-distant future. Because people are getting fed up, Ron, with this NBC charade, ABC, MSNBC, CNN.
Right,
and
right. Oh,
as
yeah.
much as I don't want to agree with Trump, I will
yeah.
say, like it or not, I do agree with what he says about the fake news.
Uh-huh.
And some things you have to give credit for. See, I don't like throwing baby out with the bathwater, so I avoid that at all costs. And
right.
to say, well, he doesn't say anything that makes any sense, is just think it's irresponsible thinking.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is. Because, as you said, you're... what you're doing is you're leading someone, if it's just your own children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or sisters or brothers or friends or even those who are elder to yourself who are easily influenced, you're misleading them.
Yes.
To buy into a system that is not for them.
That's right.
And so we have to have more independent thinking and
yes.
and acknowledge, regardless of its source, that which is truth
yes.
versus not truth. If Donald Trump is a liar to the nth degree, I said if he is, and there are those who say, there are no,
right.
he said if. How could you say if? I said if. Listen to my example here, listeners. But he says one thing that is pertinently valid. Do you throw that out? Knowing that it's pertinently valid because of the 90% of the lies? No, of course you don't. Because that one thing could make a significant difference for all of us. So we've got to take what we can get, regardless of where it's at, its source, if it's a source of truth. And when he says it's fake news out there, it's fake news. It's fake news, folks.
Right.
CNN is fake news. It's not even news. How can you call it news when for an hour program, let's say for those that watch CNN, that's a national program, so I can speak to this on our program nationally, because you can watch that from coast to coast, northwest, east and south, north and south, east and west. So Anderson Cooper, all right, anyone that watches CNN.
Right, I watch it.
The guy, the son of the governor, the Cuomo guy.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm just naming a few here. Of course, the black guy.
Lemon. Lemon.
Yes,
is his
Don
last
Lemon.
Name.
Don Lemon. Uh-huh. Lemon.
Right, that's his last.
When you watch these are supposed to be news programs, folks.
Right.
And if they're our programs, our long shows, you're going to hear bashing of the Republican Party for 60 minutes.
Right.
Bar none. That's what you're going to hear. And if you go over to Fox and you listen to one of their anchor folks, you're going to hear bashing of the Democratic Party for 60 minutes. So you're not getting news. Wake up, folks. Wake up. You're getting an hour-long commentary.
Right.
That's what you're getting.
Right.
Strictly biased. And if you're that staunch Democrat or that staunch Republican, hey, folks, I'm okay. I mean, if you're a Republican, tune in. Let's have some discourse. Let's have some discourse where we can agree to perhaps disagree.
Right.
But I think we do need to all come to the table, because I'll dare say none of us have it all right.
Yes.
None of us have it all right.
That's right.
Whether you're Democrat or you're Republican. So let's come to the table. And one of the things that disgusts me most about this mainstream talk television, which is bantering itself as news, they should take that label CNN off the title of that network, by the way, because it's not really news anymore. Oh, there's some information that's news in terms of being information, but it's basically biased talk television towards a skewed interest.
Right.
It's what it is, folks. It's not me that's making this up. I can't make this stuff up.
Right.
I'm just speaking on what I see in the evenings, if I happen to turn on one of those networks, and I can't get a decent debate, I can't hear Don Lemon bringing on his program a Democratic senator bashing Trump to the heels, and have him bring on a Republican counterpart that would defend him, that would defend Trump. I can't go to Fox and hear them bashing former Vice President Biden.
Right.
And have them bring a Democrat on to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. This isn't, that's not the whole perspective. You're not telling the whole story. I can't get that from one network.
Right.
So that's biased information, which I do not consider news.
Right.
And when I get that, then maybe I'll start talking about these stations being newsworthy. So,
yeah
I watch Fox. Yeah, I watch CNN very, very carefully with a very keen eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't get a full story from CNN. Folks, you cannot get a complete story looking from one angle. You cannot see a full picture. If you're looking at it at an extreme angle, go to any museum. Look at any picture on the wall and stand at a strong angle. There's no way you can see the whole picture as it was designed to be seen.
Right. And why isn't the Congress having some kind of critique on how the administration is treating the migrants? I mean, that is revolting on how they're being treated. And nobody enumerates the impact of NAFTA and CAFTA, what that has done to those South American and Central American countries. That's why
but
they're
not,
coming here, because their own country, the people who run the country, are brutalizing those people. And that's why they're coming here. And the United States, with NAFTA, CAFTA, corporations went down there, took away the land for its own use, for profit. That's how they stay wealthy, is they go and they take other people's property and minerals and wealth and bring it to themselves. So, but you don't hear anything about that in Congress.
You
see what I mean?
No, you don't hear about, you don't,
NAFTA,
any of what you just said. So that's why it's not news.
Right.
And it's really, really sad. I mean, you used to be able to go to C-SPAN and get some of the reality of it. It's almost getting dangerous now, like you said, getting into this fascist state. It's getting pretty bad out here. And so as Ron said, folks, I think it's time that we tuned in our awareness significantly. I mean, really tuned it up significantly.
Yeah.
And in addition to tuning it up significantly, we need to share what we find out in tuning up our awareness with those around us or who we have access to broaden that awareness on a national scale.
Thank you.
And then as that discourse begins to take place, by demand, there'll be more information that will be shared. And then from there, I do believe that we will surface a counter movement.
Right.
That's really what you're, I believe, getting at, Ron, is
exactly.
A counter movement. Something other than. And it's not going to be easy because we're in a big ditch. I wouldn't even call it a ditch. We're in a hole. No,
right.
We're in a valley.
We sure are.
So there is work to be done. Yep. And as Ron said, you know, there's third parties. There's a Green Party. There's so many third parties. Ron, about 8 years ago, we did a whole thing on third parties, you may recall. And we had candidates from at least four of the third parties. Folks, there are actually other parties out there. But they don't get to debate. They don't get the attention. So most people, or at least a significant number, don't even realize there are alternative parties. So in effect, we become a two-party republic, which is not a party of choice for the people, by the people, and of the people.
Please note that if you want to be able to vote, you have to align yourself with either the Republican or Democratic parties. You can't go in and say, I want to be able to vote, and you want to have a line up yourself with the Green Party. You have to go in as either Democrat or Republic and Republican. And then you take your vote and you vote who you want to vote for. But initially, you only start out with Republican or Democrat. You see what I'm saying? In other words, you can't go in and start to register to vote. You have to register Democrat or Republican. So once you've done that, you can vote for the Green Party. You see what I mean? But you can't initiate yourself with the Green Party to start off. Am I clear? I hope so.
Wow. Yes, brutally.
Right. I mean,
wow.
Then you go to the Green Party. You can vote then as a Green Party person. But to start off, in other words, the brainwashing there is the fact that you must think that these are the two major accepted parties. See, you must think that before you can think another way. That's what we're into. And one other thing I just wanted to say real quick, that there are stations on the West Coast. I think there was a station in Texas that was part of BAI, and also two on the West Coast in California. I think it's WPIK, something like that. But there are a couple stations there, and they take sources from each other and put on their programming that way. But the way you just mentioned, Darryl, was more succinct, because you're talking about streaming, and that goes further. You don't have to be in those other areas to get the PFK and stuff like that. So the streaming is easier.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You're on there.
So I'm asking our listeners to drop us an email across the country. If you have a local talk network, independent network, commercial free network, that you'd like to share, and we'd be glad to put it on the air so people can, you know, tie into other alternatives of information.
Oh, yeah.
Than what we're
one
being
more
bantered with. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah, one more. Is Black Agenda Report. That's on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a very good source of news.
Yes.
I would praise that highly, because it's very, it's very critical of the system we're in right now, and it speaks directly to it. I'm surprised it's been on the internet as long as it has been, but that is very informative. So you
it
get
truly
to know
is.
About, Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, and all of these machinations that are going on without the public being aware of why the United States wanted to attack Afghanistan and Iraq. You see, because Afghanistan had nothing to do with the World Trade Center whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. That's all inside job. And what the CIA calls black operations. That's what they call it, black operations. So they got, slang terms for all of their ins and outs and things that they don't want you to know about. That's it.
Well, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
We so appreciate this. We've got our marching orders. Our marching orders are simply become aware. Don't limit your scope of information. Broaden your scope of information. You just mentioned a few. BlackAgendaReport.com. That's BlackAgendaReport.com. Google that. Other independent news, real news sources will come up. And then share that. reach out to Progressive News Weekly. Reach out to me and let me know, and I'll certainly share it across the airwaves if you have, you know, information on other news medias that are unbiased and non-political. And so that's the first thing, is to become aware and then to share. To become aware and then to share
right.
that which you have been able to tap into for knowledge and independent information. And then once you begin to share, that will germinate. Never stop sharing. Continue to share. And then, ultimately, you might be surprised how fast that movement can begin to get traction. And at some point, there will surface those who will help guide that. And it won't be something that's going to be simple and quick. So we must be patient with this and ever vigilant in our pursuit. And in that way, we can see a change and we can see a difference for the good of not just that 10 or 20%. And when I say the 20%, I'm really including some folks in a broad scale. When I say 20, because it really is more like 10% that's running the 90% of the resources.
That's right.
But we at that 90% can, if we just begin to become aware and open up our minds and get out of the indoctrination of sitcoms and sports. And I'm not saying don't watch your favorite sitcom or reality show, but it shouldn't dominate our conscious thought. And I believe it is too much doing that. Ron, thank you for sharing. We're going to have to, if we're going to get this going, we're going to have to do this relatively regularly. So I'm hoping that you'll be a part of Progressive News, as you have been over the decades, in helping to make this happen. Because I know you truly have a love for this country. And
yes, I do.
And you're certainly by no means any type of a radical unpatriot. Quite the contrary. You are someone that cares about the country and just wants our nation to be one of equity amongst the people who make it what it is, the country that it is, the masses. And so thank you again for joining us this evening. And for our listeners who joined late or are on the archives, we have been talking with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, an advocate for the masses, a historian, activist for human and equal rights, research analyst, and one who truly wants to see our society evolve versus degrade. And evolve, he intends to see it do. All right, so that concludes another edition of Progressive News Weekly. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Join us when you can. This has been some uncommon discourse, Mr. Crenshaw, for sure.
Thank you.
We talked about, you know, some of the things that are going on, and we talked about, even more importantly, some of the things that we can do about that. And there's certainly hope. I'm one to be optimistic about the situation. There's always hope. All right. So until next week, when we're going to have another enlightening and enriching program, I know you have folks around you that you care about, that you love. Why don't you start by letting them know that? Don't just show it, say it. Don't just say it, show it.
Okay.
And
thank
believe you.
You
me, it'll come back a thousandfold. Until next week, so long, and be at peace. And, well, I believe truly love will bring us back together.
Until
then. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you.